My name is Bob Lampkin. I'm an architect in Dallas. And it's really a great privilege to share with you men this morning. I grew up in Michigan, another U of M guy like Mark. Yep, go blue. I have made my living as an architect now for 33 years. I've been married now for almost 35 years. It'll be 35 years in August. My wife, Lisa. I came to Christ at the age of 46. There's a picture of my wife and my daughter and some of my friends. I came to Christ at the age of 46, which just right about 10 years ago now. In fact, if I had a way to research it, this could possibly even be the 10th anniversary of the day I came to Christ. My first trip to KMI was in 2008, so this is my 9th trip to the conference. KMI is one of the real spiritual highlights of my year. And it's been a really big part of my growth in Christ. For me, it's a refueling station. It's a place where I find nourishment and encouragement to continue in my walk with God. I know we are all very grateful for KMI, and I want to say a special thanks to all the men that put it together. All the hard work they do, especially to Peter. Peter, thank you so much for this conference. One other important piece of background information you should know about me is that I serve in a disciple-making ministry at Watermark Church in Dallas. It's called the Equipped Disciple. It's been extremely instrumental in my spiritual growth. And I will also be forever grateful to all the men there that have helped me. The objective of the Equipped Disciple ministry is to help people get established in their walk with God. Our track is the Navigators Colossians 2:7 series. And as Mark mentioned, the 2:7 series provides basic training in the disciplines of the Christian life. Quiet time, scripture memory, prayer, fellowship, witnessing. Many of the things we've spent the last 3 days working on, talking about in the different workshops. So that's enough preliminaries. Let me pray for just a moment. Father, thank you. Let my thoughts and my words honor you. Let this time be exactly what you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic that was given to me for my time this morning was commitment to the basics. Commitment to the basics. So I searched my heart and I prayed for God to give me an objective for this time, a goal for this time this morning. And I've heard that we should say no small prayers and that we should appeal to God's highest level of willingness. And so I prayed that what comes out of this morning is nothing short of revival. I'm asking God for a revival of our spirits, a revival of our churches and our communities. And I believe that this aligns with what he wants. And so I trust him that he'll use this time as a catalyst. You think, why would I pray for revival? Well, I'd like to think that we're all in the business of revival. We're all called to help people find the immeasurable joy that comes from walking with God. But unfortunately, it's been my experience that too few Christians truly know God in any significant way. In any way that really impacts their lives. They acknowledge that he exists, right, as Mark did, but they fail to consider if that fact should mean anything to them, if that should be meaningful in their lives. And often there's no evidence that his existence really even matters to them. As Mark said, he knew about God, but he didn't mean anything to him. Many reasons and excuses are offered. But more likely the truth is that they're just not seeking him. They're not seeking to know the ways of God and to walk with him. They are distracted, or they're deceived, or many of them are just defiant. Most have not even begun to explore what it means to walk with God. And they miss out on the reality that when we finally come to our senses and turn our gaze to God, that he runs to us and he throws his arms around us and he kisses us like the prodigals that we all are. So today, I'm going to talk about the less traveled way. walking with God. The main point of my message this morning is that to walk with God, we have to connect the small branch of our lives to the life-giving vine that is Jesus. And to remain connected to Jesus, we have to be committed to the basics. Okay? So let's look at some Old Testament scriptures first and see what they say about walking with God. In Genesis 5, 21 through 24, and the verses will be up on the screen so you don't have to flip around because I'm going to be jumping all over the place. We learn of Enoch. And it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. In Hebrews, it says that Enoch pleased God. And that's virtually all we know of Enoch. But we should all be so fortunate as to be remembered like Enoch. Besides Enoch, the scriptures speak of another hero of the faith who walked with God. In Genesis 6:9, the scripture says of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. In Noah's case, though, God has preserved a more complete story for us. We're all familiar with how Noah stood out among his generation because of his relationship with God. He was committed to walking in obedient cooperation with God, even in very desperate times. And when the flood came and lasted for nearly a year, he never wavered. Later, the prophet Micah wrote in Micah 6:8, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. So we see that, according to the prophet Micah, humbly walking with God is what is required of us. And then with the arrival of Jesus among us, walking with God became following Jesus. We're all familiar with John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the way. So following Jesus is the way that God would have us walk as we seek to walk with God. In my thesis, to follow Jesus and to stay connected to Him, we have to be committed to the basics. Okay, so what are the basics? If we have to be committed to the basics, then we have to know what the basics are. Well, the basics are the spiritual disciplines of the Christian walk. Among the basics are hearing, reading, studying God's Word, memorizing and meditating on Scripture. The basics are part and parcel of the devotional life, otherwise known as the quiet time. The basics include all the modes of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession. And I think you could also make a case that the basics include sharing our faith and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the basics of the Christian faith, the ways that we walk when we walk in relationship with God. So I'm going to talk about three steps today that we must take to remain committed to the basics, to stay connected to Jesus and to walk with God. And the three steps I'm going to talk about are commit, cooperate, and continue. That's my very simple outline, so you don't need a handout. You can remember, commit, cooperate, and continue. So the first step is to commit. If we're going to be committed to the basics, then the obvious first step is commitment. If I'm going to be committed to walking with God, then that means I must do whatever that requires. David was a man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalm 37, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, And He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. To commit means that we must make some non-negotiable decisions. It begins with making choices and setting priorities. The bottom line is that we must commit ourselves daily to following Jesus, no matter the cost. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11, He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus is offering Himself to us. Just before that, He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Then He says, "Take my yoke. It is easy and light." He wants us to walk with Him and learn from Him. He wants us to commit our life to Him. It's the life that He made us for. So in the spring of 2006, virtually 10 years ago, I came to the conclusion that I had never truly before committed my life to Christ. So standing in the back of a high school auditorium turned church, I put my trust in His sacrifice and I offered Him my life in exchange. I made a decision to follow Christ. At that moment, I didn't know what that would mean going forward. But whatever might come, who I would follow was settled. Over the next few months, as the gospel became more and more clear to me, I came to a new understanding that I didn't need to earn God's favor. But still, I knew that God had prepared good works for me to do. And so I struggled in those early days to find the proper motivation. I began to more fully understand the right source of motivation to surrender to the Holy Spirit and to give up my life for others when I memorized Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And in those five words, "in view of God's mercy," I found all the motivation I needed to dedicate myself to God. The Holy Spirit showed me that God's grace and mercy had saved me, and it was God's grace and mercy that would sustain me. And so I began down a path with God that was marked by various disciplines that eventually became non-negotiable for me. Disciplines such as daily time in God's Word, non-negotiable. Memorizing God's Word, non-negotiable. Running with other men who are running after Christ, non-negotiable. Sharing my heart for Christ, non-negotiable. Staying connected with God through prayer, non-negotiable. Men, to walk with God should be our desire. To help others walk with God, to call others to walk with God is our purpose. I don't know about you, but I want my tombstone to say, "He walked with God." So I want to challenge you as I wrap up this first point. I want you right now, I want you to promise yourself by the power of God that you will be a man of God. I want you to commit to walking with God by following Christ no matter the cost. I want us to take a minute and just pray silently so that if you have never done this before, that you can commit yourself to following Christ no matter the cost. And if you have, I want you to rededicate yourself to a more complete commitment and a closer walk with God. Just take just a minute to tell Him that you are committed to doing that. Okay. Now that we're all resolved and determined to walk with God, what's the next step? The second step is to cooperate. In order to walk with God, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the work that He intends to do through the basics. When Jesus died on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." And so it was. His sacrifice was complete, His work was finished, and it was sufficient. By His stripes we're healed, by His blood we're saved. But that's not the end of the story, right? That's just the beginning. Like Mark said, He's a new creation. Christ's work is not the end for us. It was the beginning. In salvation, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. He saved us on the cross, but today He is saving me still. He saved us unto sanctification. Thank you, Britton, if you're here. He saved us unto holiness. He saved me to walk with Him, to be conformed to His image by the work of His Spirit. Look with me at Galatians 6:8. It says, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction." The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So this is where the spiritual disciplines, the basics, come into view in our walk. And their purpose is to provide a means for the Holy Spirit to be activated in our life. Let's look at a few verses just real quick about the Holy Spirit and His role. So at salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our souls. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" The Holy Spirit was given to lead us and to guide us. Romans 8:14 says, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." He was given to teach us the words, the ways of Jesus. John 14:26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." He lives in us to guide us, to comfort us, to give us joy. He gives us the boldness of Joshua, the courage of David, and the faith of Abraham, all from the Holy Spirit. And this is where the spiritual disciplines come into play. Richard Foster wrote this in his book called The Celebration of Discipline. I think this gets right to the heart of it. "By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to the place where something can be done." And this is the key phrase. "They are God's means of grace." The inner righteousness we seek is not something that is poured on our heads. God has ordained the disciplines of the spiritual life as the means by which we place ourselves where He can bless us. The spiritual disciplines are God's means of grace. The devotional life, scripture memory, prayer, fellowship, meditation, fasting, sharing your faith, these are all intended for us to move us into the place where God can bless us, where His Spirit can do His work. The disciplines are God's means of grace to transform us. When you get up in the morning and open God's Word, you are putting yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit can transform you. You are availing yourself of God's grace through His Word, and the Spirit will use it to grow you and to heal you. When you memorize God's Word, you are giving the Holy Spirit a vocabulary, and He will use it to transform you, to teach you, to rebuke you, to correct you, and to train you in righteousness. When you run with others who are following Christ, the Holy Spirit will work through them as a transforming source of encouragement and accountability. It has been my experience that when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the spiritual disciplines are like keys. I think of them like keys to the rich storehouses of God's grace. To me, the quiet time is a key to a door, beyond which lies all the treasure of relationship with God. Spending time with God daily, He reveals to us the great mysteries of the faith, the truth of all things. And the more I spend time with Him, the more clearly I see. To me, Scripture memory is a key to a door, beyond which lies all the transforming and healing power of the God of the universe. To the extent that I hide His Word in my heart, I'm healed. To the extent that I hide His Word in my heart, I'm empowered to show others the path to transformation and to healing. To me, prayer is the key to a door, beyond which lies all the compassion, mercy, and peace of our God. Prayer unlocks the peace that surpasses understanding. It appropriates mercy and compassion. It unleashes the trumpets of glory and fills our worship. It activates our advocate. And it connects us to the Almighty. To me, the disciplines are keys to the treasuries of grace, the riches of God. And we only need to cooperate and unlock the doors so that the Holy Spirit can usher us in. So the third step. Now that we're committed to following Christ and cooperating with the Holy Spirit, what's the last piece? Well, the last piece is to continue. What we need to realize is that walking with God is a day-by-day act of continuing. Consider the words of Jesus in Luke 9:23. Then He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." If I'm faithful to cooperate with the Spirit today, I must still make the decision to be faithful tomorrow. And the same is true of the next day and the next and the next. It's an act of the will that is carried out day by day. And in some cases, hour by hour and minute by minute. In the Scripture, we are commanded to continue. And if you think about it, you will realize that the command to continue can never be fulfilled. Right? You will never, until Jesus takes us home, you will never be finished continuing. And the way we say it is, you will never graduate from the basics. You never graduate from the basics. Look at James 1:25. It says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So as we continue to grow, the perfect law that is the Word ministers to us at our greatest point of need, in every specific time. Though it never changes, it never fails to be sufficient and reliable, fulfilling our needs for wisdom and truth in every moment. Look with me also at 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." This is one of the reasons I love KMI. One of the many benefits of KMI is the opportunity to meet men like Jim White and John Repass and John Taylor and Bruce Doss, and you could go on and on, who have been walking with God for decades. And I assure you that they have not decided that they no longer need a quiet time or that they no longer need to memorize God's Word. I can assure you they have not given up prayer and they have not given up fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Christ. I think it's much more likely that they've determined that they need the basics even more than ever. And then we must never turn back. Once on the path, we are warned to never look back. With God, there is only one way, and that is forward with the advancing kingdom. God's plan is being fulfilled every day, and there's nothing that we can do that will ever slow it down or stop it in any way. Our only risk is that we will get left behind, and that's only if we turn back and fail to be faithful. So to continue in our walk means to persevere. The author of Hebrews writes in 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And then a couple chapters later in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we need to know that we can continue even if we stumble and fall. I love the story of the prodigal son. I just really love that story. When I first came to Christ, I identified with that story deeply. I believed, because I came to Christ at 46, I believed that I had squandered so much of my life. But I had come to my senses and God ran to me. And I imagined it as a one-time event. And in some ways that's true, but as I began to learn what it means to walk with God on a daily basis, He gave me a new perspective. And in a quiet time one morning, I learned that truly I am a prodigal each and every day. You know, each and every day I need to get up and turn my gaze heavenward. And each and every day, God is faithful to meet me. We can continue to walk with God even when we fall, because He is full of compassion. Even though we fail on a daily basis and our best works are filthy rags, we can continue because of His compassionate grace. Look at the climactic verse in the prodigal story, Luke 15:20. It says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. God will do that for you each and every day. We can persevere in our walk with God because His compassionate mercies are new every morning. You got to love Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It's because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We can continue to walk with God because He is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And before I wrap up, let me share two concluding thoughts on continuing. Okay? First, remember this. We walk by faith. We see that we walk by faith in Colossians 2, 6, and 7. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So we received Christ by faith, and we were justified. Now we continue by faith, and we're sanctified. And by faith, we look forward to the day when we will be glorified. So we walk by faith. And unless anyone thinks that I've said anything to the contrary, let me be clear. We do not walk with God under our own power. We walk with God by the power of God. Paul writes in Philippians 2, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." And then in Ephesians 3:20, which is one of my most recent memory verses, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." So friends, over the past 3 days, you have attended workshops. You've learned about the quiet time. You learned about prayer. You learned about memorizing Scripture. You've learned about meditation. And there were some awesome workshops. There really were. But let me ask you, after you've left this conference and returned to the duties of family and the distractions of work, will these 3 days fade in memory and be of little or no impact? Or will you commit to following Jesus? Will you commit to cooperating with the Holy Spirit and continuing to walk more closely with God? Will you allow revival to gain a foothold in your heart and take it home with you to your families, in your churches, in your communities? I want to close by reading through a hymn. John Newton was born in 1724 to a God-fearing mother and a seagoing father. And following in his father's footsteps, he became a drunken and depraved sailor and a captain of many slave ships. But after surviving a violent storm, he turned his life towards the Lord. After a while, he became a beloved pastor and a prominent supporter of the abolition of the slave trade. Most of you probably know him as the author of Amazing Grace. But he wrote many other hymns. And one of his lesser-known hymns is called "By Faith in Christ I Walk with God." And this is what it says. "By faith in Christ I walk with God. With heaven my journeys end in view, supported by his staff and rod. My road is safe and pleasant too. I travel through a desert wide where many round me blindly stray, but He vouchsafes to be my guide and will not let me miss my way. Though snares and dangers throng my path, and earth and hell my course withstand, I triumph over all by faith, guarded by His almighty hand. The wilderness affords no food, but God my support prepares, provides me every needful good, and frees my soul from wants and cares. With Him sweet converse I maintain. Great as He is, I dare be free. I tell Him all my grief and pain, and He reveals His love to me. Some cordial from His word He brings. Where'er my feeble spirit faints, at once my soul revives and sings, and yields no more to sad complaints. I pity all the worldling's talk of pleasure that will quickly end. Be this my choice, O Lord, to walk with Thee, my guide, my guard, my friend." Let me pray. Father, we are so grateful that You are compassionate and merciful and that You run to us And Father, we are grateful that you have ordained the spiritual disciplines as the means of grace that your Holy Spirit uses in our lives. So Father, now give us the desire, the commitment, show us our need, that we might go from here, take what we've learned, take what's been shared with us, and walk humbly with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.